Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Ken Parr. This morning, my guest is Frank Hurd, who's Vice President and COO with the Carpet and Rug Institute. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. How you doing?
I'm well. I think the last time I saw you was up at Neocon in Chicago, and I think you're in Dalton today, right?
That's correct. I am.
Okay. Well, the reason I want to talk to you is a couple things. In the carpet industry, it's historically been the 4th of July doldrums, and a lot of different mills shut down for a little bit of a period of time to do preventive maintenance. And so I know a lot of people schedule their vacations around then, and things start to get a little quieter. It's interesting, too, to watch the things that are going on in the news around oil coming down to $80 a barrel. It's kind of interesting times to watch out there, isn't it?
It's definitely interesting. I mean, you know, we're seeing a lot of things happen. But the only thing we're still not seeing, the housing market improve. Until that happens, I don't see a lot of things good for the carpet industry from the economic standpoint.
Yeah, as we've said in our editorials, there's basically two little warm spots in the business: the replacement side on the contract commercial sector, and the multifamily side. I think are both the only places where there's any business.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. So I wanted to talk to you. It's this whole news story which came up in the Chattanooga paper last Sunday around caprolactam, which is the building block for nylon 6, and the fact that California's Office of Health Hazard Assessment is changing the minimum allowable exposure level. Give us a little update on what's going on there.
Well, just a quick background is OHEA, which is the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment that works for the California Air Board, took a look at caprolactam, and we had provided them with some basic research to include a study that was done by the University of Heidelberg fairly recently on it's actually a human health study. And based on that study and some other information that the Europeans had, they actually increased their allowable level from 50 to 240. It's almost a five-fold increase. So we felt fairly confident when OHEA started to review caprolactam that they would follow the same suit and look at it and increase it, you know, from the 100 level to somewhere around 2 to 300. And that's micrograms per cubic meter. Unfortunately, when they took a look at it, they came back with a level of 2 micrograms per cubic meter, or 50 times less than what it currently was, and, you know, and 120 times less than what the European limit is. And that's actually 2,500 times below the current OSHA requirements. So we were very troubled by that. We submitted comments to OHEA. We met with them on several occasions, and it became apparent to us that they had kind of made up their mind on this particular issue, and we're going to continue to move forward. What's happened since surfaces, actually, is the fact that it has gone before the science review panel that the California Air Board constitutes on a regular basis to review the recommendations from OHEA. Their recommendations have come forward in what's referred to as a technical support document, where they outline all of their rationale for what they're doing and why they came up with the recommendations they're making. The science review panel has twice remanded the technical support document back to OHEA for review, but not because they thought the levels were too low, but in some cases they thought they didn't look at it in enough depth to review it. One of the key studies that they've been looking at is a 13-week rat study that took a look at some very high exposure levels that are just literally impossible to get out of carpet. So when we looked at that, we thought maybe what we can do is that we could partner with OHEA and fully realize that there's, you know, some fairly significant financial constraints in California and they don't have any money, but we could partner with them, develop the study, and industry would fund it at a fairly significant number, and with the idea that we could get OHEA to take a look at the new study, the new data, that would be kind of based on levels that you could expect to see coming out of carpet from a vapor standpoint. Unfortunately, OHEA turned us down on that request, which we would really hope they would have accepted it, and we could have gotten and would have had them using the best available science instead of what we think is
okay. Let me back up just a little bit and repeat a couple of things you've said. First off, just to explain the magnitude of this, and then these are some of your figures, and I haven't checked them through our information base, but when you gave the presentation at Surfaces this year, you said that when you start just looking at nylon 6 that it's basically 30% of all the carpet made has nylon 6 fiber on it. So it's a pretty massive component of the industry.
That's correct.
Yeah, so you've got that, and then you have, this is just going to be, I mean, it's going to be California legislation, so it's one state making laws, but as most people know, if you know, one state does it, a lot of states follow. I know in the one of your roles with CRI is to be, you know, the lobbyist, just to get a view of things before they actually impact the business. The question is, how far away, and there's a lot of debate, but where do we stand as far as this conversation actually hindering the sale of nylon 6-based carpet in California?
I think the thing that to point out, this does not just affect California. It's a national problem that we've got with this. And to explain what that is California Department of Public Health has a standard for VOC emissions, which is called California 1350.
Yeah.
California 1350 is generally the de facto U.S. standard for volatile organic compound emissions or small chamber testing, and has been adopted by the U.S. Green Building Council. It's been adopted by most states. It's written into specifications. It's written into specifications for carpet through the Green Label Plus program, which is a 1350-based process. What this would do is basically say that about a third or 30% of the carpet that's sold as specified by in the commercial sector primarily, nylon 6 would not be acceptable because it would not pass 1350.
Okay, so somehow something's happened, so California gets to set the U.S. standards now.
California set the U.S. standard on this. They didn't intend to, but it's in fact just evolved. People glommed onto it, and it's become the de facto standard. There's nothing in formally set. Just that's the way it is.
Okay. All right, so there's another little factor in here. Some people might discount what the Carpet and Rug Institute says because they think you represent the manufacturers and so you can't be unbiased in this. But, you're actually just presenting data of tests that were done in Europe. So this isn't your data. You're just trying to get the right people to see the data, right?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. Matter of fact, what we did was we actually went out and got a fair series of some fairly significant experts to include the National Science Foundation and asked them to review the data and review the report that was put out by OHIA.
Yeah.
And there was pretty much unanimity that the report was flawed, that they did not look exposure correctly, they didn't look at the right study, they misinterpreted the studies. And, you know, we have not been able to find anybody outside of OHIA who has said that they're really looking at the data appropriately.
Okay. So as far as you know and as far as the studies you've read, it's okay to buy carpet that's produced with nylon 6 fiber and let a baby crawl around on it.
Yes. Caprolactam is a totally unremarkable chemical.
Yeah.
The worst thing it can do at extremely high levels, which you could never get from carpet, you'd have to... I'm not even sure how you can do it. I've been asked that question, how you get to high levels. But extremely high levels, it might cause a slight irritation in your eyes. You might blink.
And we should remind everybody that nylon 6 is actually the type of nylon that is easily unzipped and brought back to its original elements and then made back into recycled nylon 6, which has the same properties as virgin 6.
It does. It's the easiest of all the polymers, you know, and the most economical of all the polymers from an economic standpoint to recycle back into itself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Frank, I just wanted to have this quick interview just to update people on what's going on. I appreciate you getting on here with us this morning. I hope you have a good Independence Day break. Again, we've been talking to Frank Hurd, who's COO, Vice President with Carpet and Rug Institute, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.